Hour number two, and we're going to start our trips around the National Football League and a team that I think could be very good this year, the Minnesota Vikings. The heartbreaking loss in the playoffs to Seattle, but this team's got some talent on both sides of the ball, and we bring in the outstanding voice of the Minnesota Vikings. That's Paul Allen. Paul, great to talk to you. How are you?
What up, G? How you doing?
I am doing great. I can't even imagine the excitement downtown with the new stadium opening and the Vikings on the upswing. I mean, it's got to be a great time to be in the Twin Cities.
Yeah, August 28th, we have our third preseason game. You know, and granted, the preseason at times is not the most exciting thing in the world for casual fans. But we have a nationally televised game, 10 a.m. Sacramento time, against the San Diego Chargers from U.S. Bank Stadium. And it's going to be good to get a noon central dry run to see, you know, how the sunlight's going to be and stuff in U.S. Bank Stadium. And then our first regular season home game is the second game of the season, Sunday Night Football, nationally televised against Green Bay. So that'll be cool, too.
Speaking of Green Bay, I talked to Aaron Rodgers up at the Celebrity Golf Tournament a couple of weeks ago, and when I asked him about the division, the first team he mentioned were the Vikings. I mean, listen, I thought the Vikings, when I saw week one at San Francisco, I was like, uh-oh, but I loved the way the Vikings played. I thought, you know this team inside and out, but don't you think they're on the upswing?
Yes. Those two teams hit the wire together last year. We won the division at Lambeau, final game of the season. But Green Bay had some significant offensive line turmoil in that game and no Jordy Nelson all season. With Jordy back, that obviously will help them. But third year in head coach Mike Zimmer's defense, I think, is going to be quite eye-opening for the NFL this year. So I expect those two to hit the line together again, to be honest with you.
Paul, what do you like about Mike Zimmer?
I like his no-nonsense approach where you know exactly where you stand. And he doesn't have to cuss to do it. He has that fatherly thing to him where when you don't do it the way he wants it done because you know he outworks everybody, you feel guilty. So he just has that fatherly leadership quality to him where the veterans and the kids respond.
I want to get back to your stadium. You know, when you played in the Dome before, you know, playing outdoors at, Minnesota, I'm just curious. Do you feel that playing in a dome is as big of an advantage as it seemed to be years ago? Or does the technology now with being able to, you know, talk to the quarterbacks before they get to the line of scrimmage and et cetera, does that change things around?
Well, this place, Grant, U.S. Bank Stadium, is twice as big as Metrodome. But the beauty of it is they built it on a rather small footprint, so therefore the seats don't go back, they go up.
Wow.
And the vantage point really from any place in the spot is really, really good. I expect it this year to be amazingly loud. Playing outdoors at the college stadium last year, the last couple of years, outside of a handful of games, with all due respect to the fan base, it was a home field, but
sure.
It was like the difference between a rental and owning your own piece of property. So I think fans are really going to take ownership in this building. The team is going to give them reason to cheer. And I think it's going to be super loud and will be a definitive home field advantage.
Paul Allen is the voice of the Vikings. Paul, every team's got question marks. What do you think the Vikings' question marks are?
I think it's fair to look at the way our offensive line was mediocre at best last year and wonder if it's going to be better this year. Now, in free agency, they plucked loquacious and aggressive and energetic Alex Boone from the San Francisco 49ers. In watching him through four training camp practices, I can see his leadership qualities and his aggressiveness already, and I can tell already that he's going to help. But the center, John Sullivan, is coming back from two significant back surgeries. They moved the left guard to right guard. The right tackle is new. His name's Andre Smith. He was a first-round pick by Cincinnati in 2009. You know, but for whatever the reason, the Bengals decided to part with him. So the offensive line is so important to the productivity of the third-year quarterback, Teddy Bridgewater, that until it shows it not only can move man for the running back, but it can protect the quarterback, I think that's fair to say it's a question mark.
Assuming that there were no injuries to skilled people during the preseason, how do you handicap this division?
Green Bay and the Vikings 1-2. It's going to go either way. I think the Bears are going to jump up a little bit. I have a lot of respect for head coach John Fox and his defensive coordinator, Vic Fangio. One thing that I think is going to hurt Chicago is Adam Gase, their offensive coordinator last year, worked wonders with Jay Cutler, and then he was elevated to become head coach of the Miami Dolphins.
Right.
So I'll be curious to see what happens to Jay. Jay at times can be careless, but with Adam Gase, he was just very good with the football, and I think he had a pretty good year. Now they lose Matt Forte too. The Lions were without Megatron. I think their defense is a little suspect, so I'll put them in last, Bears in third, Packers in second, and I think the Vikings and the Packers will both finish 11-5, but I think the Vikings somehow will win it by a nose.
December 24th at Green Bay, and then you on New Year's Day are home to Chicago. Nice way to end the season.
Yeah, we got we also play on Halloween at Soldier Field. We have that first Thanksgiving Day game at Ford Field, and this will be my 15th year calling Vikings football, and I've never been part of a Thanksgiving Day game.
That's so unbelievable. Really? In 15 years, this will be your first? That's incredible to me.
You know, and a lot of people are like, well, I mean, it pulls you away from family and friends and stuff on Thanksgiving, and I understand that, and I'm not anti-family or friends.
Right.
But I think that first game from Detroit on Thanksgiving is super, super cool.
Absolutely.
And I'm really, really happy that we're playing in that game. Plus, it's against the Lions, which means we'll probably win.
Well, and not only that, I mean, you'll be home in the evening. You celebrate Thanksgiving evening. You'll be home. It's a hop, skip, and a jump from Detroit to Minneapolis. You get a win. You'll be happy. You can enjoy Thanksgiving dinner on Thursday night.
Think about that. A victory that begins at 11:30 in the morning Central, then the Thanksgiving feast in the evening, then right to bed to bask in the glory of a division victory. I mean, that's Nirvana.
Hey, I got to ask you a question. All right, the Wild have a gorgeous, gorgeous rink in St. The Twins have a beautiful Target Field, full, beautiful stadium. What about the Timberwolves, for crying out loud, who are on? Listen, they are going to be really good, Paul. I'm telling you, they are going to be really good if they can keep their players.
I'm not, you know, with my radio show here, Grant, and or my approach to life, I'm generally not one to harsh mellow. And I do believe Carl Anthony Towns has a chance to be one of the 15 best players in the NBA. But they
agreed.
Are so wild over this team right now because they haven't been to the playoffs in like 12 years. And, you know, Tom Thibodeau's the new coach, and that's cool. Target Center needs some renovating, and I think it's going to get it soon. Ain't no doubt about that. But
not a new building, huh?
No, I don't think they're going to get a new building anytime soon. For the Wolves to make the playoffs, man, they got to leapfrog like five teams. KD jumps to the team south of you, and now everybody immediately thinks Oklahoma City's just going to fall off the freaking map, which is not going to happen with Oladipo and the Sabonis kid and Westbrook and Roberson with that nice defense. So they're going to be in the playoffs. So it's the Wolves are going to be better, but I think people need to temper their enthusiasm just a tiny bit.
Yeah. Well, I agree everything you said about Carl Anthony Towns. This guy's on his way to superstardom, and I agree with you. I think he's going to be even above one of the top 15 players in the league. This guy's got special written all over him.
Man, I'd like to trade you Ricky Rubio, Zach LaVine, and a first-round pick for Boogie.
Okay, give me a call. I'll put you in touch with Vlade Divac.
Oh, that'd be so cool, man. Hey, when he keeps himself straight, when he's healthy and happy, And he started hitting threes last year. Are you kidding?
Yeah, I know. It's scary.
Cousins,
yeah, I know. Listen.
Freaking fun to watch. I hope the fan base up there genuinely appreciates the greatness they have in the man they affectionately call Boogie.
He's talented, boy. He is so. He's got skills like I haven't seen in a long time for a big man. He can pretty much do it all. But, hey, Paul, I got to tell you, best case scenario, you think 11 wins. Is that what you told me, 11-5? You could see him going 12-4, couldn't you?
I nailed it on your show last year at 11-5.
Yes, you did.
If you call me right before the season, I'll probably give you the official prediction. But it feels like we go 6-2 against the NFC East and the AFC South. We go 4-2 in our division. We went 5-1 last year. I'm going to say 4-2 this year. And we split at Carolina and with Arizona at home. So that all adds up to 11-5, Mr. Napier.
Yep. Well, and by the way, I don't want Ricky Rubio. You got to put someone else in there. I'll take Zach LaVine in a number one, but I don't want Rubio. I don't like guards that can't shoot.
Why would you say something like that? Maybe there will be an epiphany and his shooting will change overnight.
Yeah. We always see guys, their shooting changes overnight, right? That happens all the time, right? Oh my gosh.
Hey, with Avery Johnson, it did. And seriously though, not to get too hardcore on your show.
Yeah.
But that's like one thing with the Wolves, where okay, they're going to be in tight games finally against good teams, and Karl-Anthony Towns and Andrew Wiggins are going to get them there. But then they're going to lay off the point guard and let him shoot at the end of the game. And he's like a 35% guy. So until that gets better, and they do have Chris Dunn, by the way, the rookie from Providence, but he's not the greatest shooter in the world either. So Tom Thibodeau is the coach out here. I think that's really rude. And we'll see where it takes us.
Paul, awesome. We'll talk to you down the road. Be good. It's not possible to enjoy the preseason, but enjoy the next couple of weeks. We'll talk to you soon.
Man, we got a game. We have a game in 16 days at Cincinnati, and I can't wait.
Well, good for you. I love your enthusiasm. Be good, Paul. Take care.
Bye.
Love talking to Paul Allen. He's a piece of work, isn't he? Oh, my gosh. Hey, I'll tell you right now, I'm not saying that I would trade. I'm telling you right now, I would not trade DeMarcus Cousins, you know, in that scenario with Ricky Rubio. But if trade DeMarcus Cousins, and you can give me what I would think, you know, would be, and I love Zach LaVine, give me one other of their really good players on a first round pick, and I'd have to at least think about it. That's what I'm saying. No way I'm trading, you know, DeMarcus for Ricky Rubio, Zach LaVine, and their number one, which may be, you know, a mid round pick, because I think they have a good chance of making the playoffs. If I knew that they were going to be in the lottery, if you could give me someone else other than Ricky Rubio, at least I would have a discussion. But no, I don't want Ricky Rubio. Kings fans, you don't want Ricky Rubio, do you? I mean, you don't want a guy that can't shoot, do you? I mean, be honest with me. You want another point guard that can't shoot? I don't want a point guard that can't shoot. So give me your thoughts on the Vikings NFL. And what about what Paul Allen? I love Zach LaVine. I'll take Zach LaVine. I love Zach, but, you know, again, now when you look at the Kings and what they have coming over next year and Bogdanovich, who I think is, wait till you see Bogdanovich playing the Olympics. You know, for those of you that are going to be watching the Olympics, and you'll see a lot of highlights, because I don't know how much Serbia is going to be featured on NBC, but I think you're going to be very impressed if you have not already seen Bogdanovich. And I could see him next year being the Kings starting two guard, and if not, he'll be the third guard. That's how good he is. And I again, could he not be a quality NBA player? I guess it's possible. I mean, because he's playing in Europe and, you know, we really truly do not know, but I'm looking at all the scouts and the people that I've talked to, and they think the Kings have themselves a heck of a player when he does come over to Sacramento. And Vladdy told me he is extremely confident that Bogdanovich will be playing in Sacramento next year. All right, if you want to call the show, 339-1140, 800-920-1140. That's 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. Put Chris Dunn in that conversation, then we can talk. Not Ricky Rubio. You put Chris Dunn with Zach LaVine, And number one, we may have a deal, but not Ricky Rubio. Can't do that. Ricky Rubio's a really good passer. He's not a good defender. Excellent in the open court, playmaker, etc. So, I'll tell you one thing, though. I agree with Paul. I think Karl-Anthony Towns is going to be one of the very best players in basketball. I think he's going to be a guy that will be a first and second All-NBA team the rest of his career. I really believe that, barring injury, of course. But I think, you know, I'm already making a prediction that next year he will be at worst second All-NBA team. I think he's that talented. And, you know, with the players that they're putting around him, and how well he played in his rookie year. He is really, really talented. It's another team that seems to be up and coming in the Western Conference with so many others. And I agree also with Paul. I don't, just because Kevin Durant's not with the Thunder anymore doesn't mean they stink. They still have some really good talent on that team. They really do. All right, again, if you want to call the show, 339-1140, 800-920-1140. I'm with you right up till 6:30. I'm going to be doing the Jim Rome show on Thursday and Friday. Just confirmed that Dustin Pedroia will be with me Thursday morning at 9:20. Of course, a local product. And we've got Victor Cruz of the Giants is expected to join me. We'll talk some football with Charles Davis and Steve Weish from the NFL Network. Speaking of the NFL, were you listening the other day, or I don't know if we talked about, I mentioned it. We didn't get into it that much, but Rolando McClain, okay, has yet to report to training camp. And now there are concerns about whether he's even going to play in the NFL ever again, okay? There are many reports coming out of Big D and in Oxnard, California, where they have training camp, that his recent 10-game suspension is for the purple drink, all right, which we saw with Jamarcus Russell when he was with the Raiders. I'm reading here because it's a combination of Sprite, cough syrup, and codeine. Other sources have said the suspension was not marijuana related. So Jason Garrett said it perfectly when he was asked if McClain's career is over. Quote, we're focused on the guys who are here. Good for him. Don't waste your breath talking about Rolando McClain. Shouldn't even be in the NFL. So, you know, we know about McClain's 10-game suspension. Randy Gregory may get a 10-game suspension for, once again, failing a drug test. And this is, McClain was supposed to be on the team's flight from Dallas to Oxnard, never showed up. That's great, huh? That's a guy you really want as your starting middle linebacker. That's a great job, Jerry. Great job. Great job on giving him a contract last spring. Another great move by the Dallas Cowboys. Let's go give a guy that's got a drug problem, let's go give him another deal. That's great. So a great job by Jerry Jones. Greg Hardy turned out to be a great signing last year too, didn't it? And taking Randy Gregory with all the red flags that he had coming out of the combine, that's a great job, Jerry. That's great. Second-year guy is going to be suspended for 10 games. That's beautiful. It's unbelievable. How about that? Rolando McClain, according to several reports, testing positive for purple drank, didn't even make the team flight to training camp. Yeah, that's a guy you want leading your defense, isn't it? What an embarrassment. Absolutely embarrassing. Just, I don't understand why teams tolerate that. You know, I don't understand why teams don't just cut players. Seriously, just cut them. You know, why are the Raiders, why is Alden Smith still a member of the Oakland Raiders? Why? Because he can tackle a quarterback? And so we can see a guy, you know, let down a team five times. I mean, why? Because he's going to come back after another suspension and play a couple of games and then do something stupid and then get suspended again and then you'll cut him? I mean, really, it's baffling to me. Really is. All right, 339-1140, 800-920-1140 again, 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. You know, I like to see with the NBA, you know, when they take a guy like O.J. Mayo and he's suspended for 2 years. That's a start. Suspend guys for years. You know, I think MLB's got a tremendous, you know, drug testing program in place. And I think their punishments are harsh. But I'd love to see it become harsher. I really would. All right, so we've got the Minnesota Vikings preview in the books with Paul Allen. We'll start traveling around the National Football League, and we will preview the New York Giants coming up at 5 o'clock with former tight end Howard Cross. Victor Cruz is back on the practice field. They drafted the outstanding receiver out of Oklahoma in Sterling Shepard. He's looked really good. The question for the Giants is their offensive line. Defensively, they spent a lot of money to fix up their defense. We'll get Howard Cross's take on what he expects this year from the New York Giants. If you want to talk about your favorite team, 339-1140, 800-920-1140. We are going to be with you right up till 6:30 and the A's. And again, they say goodbye to Reddick. They say goodbye to Hill. And we're once again, unfortunately, talking about next year for the A's. The Giants are on the road. They're off to a bad start in Philadelphia. They then go to Washington and the Marlins. Philly is already leading 2-0 in the first, and they haven't even recorded an out yet. So a good start for Philadelphia, not the start that Bruce Bochy was looking for on this road trip, which, again, you know, with the Dodgers right on their heels, and now we're in August. It's not early anymore. I mean, that, that, you know, now it's time to, you know, get some rhythm going, get on a run, and look like the team that you had it before the All-Star break. You know, now's the time to crank it up. All right? 2 months left to go in baseball's regular season. All right, why don't we take the break? We'll come right back here on Sacramento Sports Station, the Grant Napier Show on Sports 1140 KHTK. You know, is there anything more boring than listening to a coach talk about reps? You know, I was watching the NFL Network today, and I was, you know, listening to that press conference live with Chip Kelly. And it's just like, really, who cares? I understand why the question's asked, but is it really that important in the first week of camp? I mean, what people are trying to do is they're trying to figure out who the number one quarterback is based on, you know, who's playing with which unit. And Chip Kelly's already been very clear about that. Don't read anything into it. We haven't made our decision. We're going to go on preseason games. When I announce my starter, you'll know, blah, blah, blah. And so what's the question? You know, how many reps did the guy get? I mean, unbelievable. That's what early part of training camp is. It's August 2nd, for crying out loud. You know, we're not even close to the first preseason game, and we're talking about reps. Incredible. Do you think that, you know, Bill Belichick's talking about reps with Jimmy Garoppolo and Tom Brady? I don't think so. Do you think that, you know, coaches around the league, I mean, they do. They get asked this all the time. But it's amazing to me that the media is so interested on how many reps somebody got in practice. You know, to me, you'll see in the four preseason games, and particularly the third preseason game, you know, whether a guy is in the picture or not. All right, 339-1140 if you want to call the show, 800-920-1140. My question for the day, do you feel that the Raiders are being overhyped, overvalued by a lot of people in the media? Do you feel that Jack Del Rio's team is getting too much or too many accolades and too much positive vibe when they really haven't done anything yet? Do you feel it's warranted, I guess, is the question. Regardless of whether you're a fan of the Raiders or not. I mean, we always try to pick that up-and-coming team every year in the NFL. We always try to look at that one team that's kind of been, you know, real bad, hasn't been 500 in ages, or, you know, has been, you know, near the bottom of the barrel or in the middle of the road. Like, a lot of people are talking that way about Jacksonville. You know, they got two stud wide receivers that are young. You got Bortles. You've got, you know, now a coaching staff that's got consistency. You know, it's Jacksonville, you know, a team that is heading in the right direction. Now, I wouldn't put them in the same category as the Raiders based on, you know, personnel, but a lot of people do. You know, a lot of people think Jacksonville could be pretty good. Here's what I don't like about the Oakland Raiders. I'm not crazy about their schedule. 3 of 4 on the road to start, and 3 of 4 on the road to end, all against divisional opponents. Not crazy about that. The schedule is what it is. That, to me, is not the best schedule I've ever seen, I'll tell you that. You know, if you're looking at, you know, your favorite team, you know, I always look, okay, how do you start the first 4 games and how do you end? And then where's the bye week? Now, Jack Del Rio will tell you, and Jack Del Rio, by the way, has already criticized the schedule, but it wasn't for, you know, the first 3 games, first 3 or 4 on the road and last 3 or 4 on the road. That's not why he was criticizing it, and I'll go over it with you in a little bit. But, you know, to me, you look at this Oakland team, you look at the skill people, you look at adding Bruce Irvin, and you look at adding Sean Smith on defense, and why not? You know, why can't they be a 9-10 win team? Now, they open up the season at New Orleans. Then they're home against Atlanta. And then they're at Tennessee and at Baltimore. Not a daunting schedule. I don't think New Orleans is that good. They are at home. Baltimore is good, in my opinion, but not great. Tennessee's not that good. And then you come home for that one game, as I said, against Atlanta. And then at the end of the season, here's your last 4 games. At Kansas City, at San Diego, home against the Colts, and at Denver. Not exactly the best schedule that I've ever seen in terms of, you know, the way, you know, you'd like to have 3 or 4 at home then this season. That's for darn sure. I think we can all agree on that. But if I gave you the over-under at 9.5 for the Raiders, do you think that's too high? Do you think I should make the over-under at 8.5? If I made the over-under at 8.5 with the Raiders, are you going over or under? Where are you going with this Raiders team if I gave you the over-under at 8.5? 339-1140, 800-920-1140. You know, how do you see this season unfolding? Assuming that your quarterback doesn't get hurt and Amari Cooper stays relatively healthy. Bye week is pretty good. You know, it's in November, so that's right when you want to have it, between the Denver and Houston game. And I've already said that it's a disgrace that the Raiders are playing a home game down in Mexico City. I hate that. Absolutely hate it. So you have 7 home games. Yeah, I'm not crazy about that. Yeah, I think that's really bad scheduling. But again, the NFL, they don't care. They're just trying to. They're one goal of mine. See how much money we can make. But I hate the fact that the Raiders are playing in Mexico City on a home game on a Monday night. I am not a fan of that. All right, we'll come back. We'll continue on. If you want to call the show, 339-1140, 800-920-1140. This is the Grant Napier Show on Sports 1140. KHTK. Hope you're having a good one. Grant Napier with you at 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. If you missed us at the top of the 4 o'clock hour, we talk with Paul Allen, the voice of the Minnesota Vikings, as we continue our visits around the National Football League. At 5 o'clock, former Giants tight end Howard Cross will be on. We'll preview the Giants and the NFC East. Right now we get to Dennis. Hello, Dennis. How are you?
Doing good. How are you doing today, Grant?
I'm very well, thank you.
Awesome. Yeah, I just wanted to touch base with you on the Raiders topic. You know, it's kind of like, I feel like they're kind of like the Kings. It's like the roster is there, but, you know, they have a lot to prove. The talent is there. Could they be a 9-plus win team? Well, yeah, they could. But last year I had a bunch of buddies on Facebook, diehard Raiders fan. You know, they're telling me, you know, we're going to go 10 wins. We're going to get 11 wins. And I told them I can't even see you guys going 500. No one believed me until the end of the year, of course.
Yeah, I think it's unrealistic to, you know, expect a team with a second-year quarterback like you had last year, you know, going above 500. I mean, is it possible? Yeah, but, I mean, that, you know, the Raiders weren't ready for that jump. I think by getting Bruce Irvin and I think getting Sean Smith and, you know, another year under Carr's belt, a second year for Amari Cooper, you know, getting a little help on the offensive line, I think it's more realistic this year.
Yeah, I definitely agree. And, I mean, I would love to see him turn it around. I mean, I'm a Niners fan, but I'm not one of these Niners fans that – disrespectful towards the Raiders group or anything, but I'd love to see him turn it around. But is this year going to be the year? I think so, if they can remain healthy. But only time will tell, just like it will with our Kings, of course.
Amen. Hey, thank you, Dennis.
I appreciate you. Take care, Grant.
Thank you. I think the other issue, you know, when I look at the, you know, West, you know, in the AFC, I don't think it's as good as it's been. You know, I don't think Denver's as good with Mark Sanchez at quarterback. We know they have a solid defense. Kansas City should be good. I don't think San Diego's good at all. To me, San Diego's basically a five-win team. So, you know, I'm not saying that 9 wins will win the division, but I wouldn't be surprised if 10-6 wins the division. You know, the Raiders, could they win 10 games? Yeah, I guess they could. I mean, their talent has been upgraded significantly. Again, I'm not crazy about their schedule, you know, particularly 3 of 4 on the road in the division to end the season. But, you know, winning at San Diego shouldn't be that big of a deal. In other words, I know it's a divisional game, and divisional games are always tough. But, I mean, the Raiders, if they're going to be, you know, considered a better team, they're going to have to beat San Diego. So, I mean, I don't look at that as a daunting task. I think winning at Kansas City could be a daunting task. It's going to be cold. I mean, Denver with their defense. But that's why you play the games. That's what I love about the NFL. You know, they're probably out of the 32 teams right now in the National Football League. There are probably 12 that you can automatically eliminate from being in the playoffs, and then the other 20 teams or so could very easily be in the playoffs. And you know what? Maybe 12 is too many. Maybe you could, you know, eliminate 10. Say these 10 teams, just no way in the world you could see them making the playoffs. And then the other 22 teams, you could say, yeah, I could see them being in the playoffs. That's the beauty of the National Football League. You know, there really is not a big difference in the NFL between being 7-9 and 9-7. It's very, very slim. You could say the same thing about being, you know, 6-10 and 10-6. There's a very fine line. It really is not that big of a gap. Not that big of a gap at all. I think the Raiders, I think best case scenario, 10 wins. Worst case scenario, 7 wins. That's barring injuries, of course. I think they're right there between 7-10 wins. If I had to guess and make a prediction, without even seeing preseason and not knowing any injuries, if the over-under was 8.5, I would go over. I think they're probably better suited to win 9 games than 7 games. They were on 7 games last year, so they should be better. So over-under, I would go over 8.5. I would go 9. And then if I looked at the 49ers and I looked at the over-under on that team, and I put it at 5.5, I'd probably have to go below. I don't think they're going to be that good. I'd probably have to go 5.5. And if you gave me 5.5, I would go 5. If you gave me 6.5, I would easily go under. I don't see them going over 6 wins. Just, I don't think they're that good. You know, I think they have some real issues. So if you want to talk about that, 339-1140. That's 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. We're going to take you to Oakland A's baseball at 6:30. We will preview the Giants coming up at the top of the hour or right after with Howard Cross, a longtime tight end with the New York Giants, now a broadcaster. You know, the NFC East, the Cowboys right now look decimated on defense with all of their suspensions. They got a couple D linemen that are out. You don't know about Romo and how many hits he's going to be able to take on that collarbone that's been surgically repaired twice. How much longer can Jason Witten be the factor that we've seen him? Offensive line is good. Philly, I'm not. To me, Philadelphia is a 6-7 win team. To me, they don't have a quarterback. They've got other issues. Shouldn't say they don't have a quarterback. I don't think their quarterback's very good. Washington won the division last year. I think offensively, they should be pretty good. They pick up Josh Norman from Carolina as a cornerback. That should make their, you know, pass defense a lot better. We'll get Howard Cross's take on that. We heard from Paul Allen. He thinks the Vikings and the Packers are the two best teams, and he likes Minnesota to win the division. And I can't say I disagree with him. I could see, you know, the Vikings being that team. You know, they won the division last year. Now, you know, Green Bay had some offensive line issues. They didn't have Jordy Nelson. And that obviously was a big factor for Aaron Rodgers, who really did not have a typical Aaron Rodgers year. You know, Aaron Rodgers did not have the type of year that he's accustomed to. I expect him to have a, you know, a typical Aaron Rodgers year based on having Jordy Nelson back. Now, he is on the PUP list right now, but the folks in Green Bay do not believe it to be, you know, that serious. But that's something worth keeping an eye on, because Jordy Nelson, and here's the other deal, he's coming off major knee surgery. You know, we don't know if he's going to be as good as he's been in the past. You know, I'm going to talk to Howard Cross about that, you know, with Victor Cruz. You know, patellar tendon surgery, then the calf injury last year. You know, who's to say that he's going to be able to be the receiver that he was 2 years ago? So if you want to talk football, 339-1140. That's 339-1140, 800-920-1140. Let's get to Vernon on the Grant Napier Show. Hello, Vernon.
Hello, Grant, long-time listener.
Thank you, Vernon.
Why would the 49ers want to go into the season with a quarterback controversy?
They don't have a quarterback. They don't have a quarterback controversy.
I thought he said he's going to be sharing snaps with the.
That's not a controversy. That's a battle for who's going to be the starting quarterback. It's not a controversy. It's competition. That's not. No one's making it into a controversy. Players aren't. Coaches aren't. Media is not. It's a competition. It's not even close to a controversy.
All right.
See you. 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. I don't know why you would think it's a controversy just because there's competition. You know, Chip Kelly will probably make his decision, I would guess, after the second preseason game. Maybe not until after the third, but, I mean, and here's the other deal. Blaine Gabbert wins the starting job and doesn't play well the first couple weeks, then you go to Colin Kaepernick. If Colin Kaepernick wins the starting job and doesn't play well the first couple of weeks, then you go to Blaine Gabbert. You know, it's not like you have Johnny Unitas and Bart Starr back there. You know, you've got Blaine Gabbert and Colin Kaepernick. Nothing's etched in stone. It's not like you can't change quarterbacks if things aren't going well. And it's not a very difficult scenario to figure out. You've got two quarterbacks that both have proven they can play in this league, but neither are labeled as great. So play one starter, give him a couple of weeks. If it doesn't work, go to the other guy. And it's really not that difficult. It really isn't. All right, don't forget, we'll preview the NFC East and the Giants with former tight end Howard Cross. Oakland A's baseball is coming your way at 6:30, so we'll get you to that. I'll be hosting the Jim Rome Show Thursday and Friday. Very much looking forward to that, including Dustin Pedroia, who will be on with me Thursday morning. We'll talk with hopefully Victor Cruz. We'll talk some NFL football with Charles Davis and Steve Weish. We'll have some MLB talk with the some folks from the MLB Network. We got some good shows planned for you. That's Thursday and Friday morning. Right now, though, we'll take the break. We'll come back. We'll talk about the New York Giants and the NFC East as we continue our visits around the National Football League right here on the Grant Napier Show.